Hey guys, welcome back to Open Language. My name's Adam.
And I'm Diana.
Diana, we've got part one of our newest upper intermediate two-parter.
Mm-hmm. And this is 10 simple ways to have meaningful conversations.
Okay, so every day we all have conversations.
That's right.
Some conversations are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Some are fun. Some, on the other hand, are not particularly meaningful.
Right. Or they are required of you, but
yes,
you don't really want to be a part of the conversation.
Exactly. So in today's lesson and in part two, we're going to be talking about different ways to make your conversations more meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Simple ways.
Right. So in our first part, we're going to focus more on maybe personal conversations.
Mm.
And then in our second part, it's going to be focused more on networking.
Right. So let's not waste any more time. We've got this broken up into two parts. Let's go ahead and listen to part one.
All right. Number one, don't get too excited about your next thought. People can tell when you aren't truly listening, so always make it a point to listen before you speak. If your story is really interesting, it will still be interesting in 5 minutes. Number two, ask good questions that show you're engaged. Be curious about what the other person is talking about. Try to ask at least one question before moving on to the next topic. Number three, try to genuinely relate. Finding a subject that you are both passionate about will help you establish a genuine rapport. All right, so the first tip on our list is don't get too excited about your next thought.
I like the way they've written the, don't get too excited. Settle down here.
Calm down.
Yeah, calm down, exactly. Because people can tell when you aren't truly listening.
Right.
You're only thinking about what's in your own head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. So, can tell. When you can tell something, you either know it, or you see it, or you recognize it.
You recognize it, exactly. And sometimes you can't tell.
Right. Exactly.
For example, our accountant here in the office said something last week like she can't tell the difference between Western people.
Right.
But
right.
To be fair, a lot of Western people are also not able to tell the difference between different Asian people.
Yes, exactly. Goes both ways.
It does.
So another instance where I could use tell is, for example, I see something really far away and I am not really sure what it says. So I ask Adam, hey, I can't tell what that sign says. Can you read it?
Yes, exactly. And I said, oh, I can't tell either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would think if I had twins, it would be kind of difficult sometimes to
tell the difference.
Well, I'd say tell them apart.
Ah,
right. Yeah,
okay.
It's the same thing, right? You're telling the difference between one person and another.
Right.
But in this case, we probably would say tell them apart.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or even maybe like brothers or sisters. If they don't have to be twins, they just look a lot alike.
Yeah, that's true. Or maybe you have a friend who always likes to joke around and you're never sure if they're serious or not.
Oh.
Maybe you can say, you know, I can't tell if he's being serious or sarcastic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, I those people actually kind of drive me crazy. Yeah, because you just can't tell.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so back to our tip for a second. Always make it a point to listen before you speak.
That's a very good point.
It is a good point.
So here, make it a point just kind of means make sure.
Make sure you do it, right? And we have so many different phrases that mean the exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
We decided to make a point to set today's grammar section to these, you know, little phrases here that kind of mean like you should do this thing.
Right, right. All right. So if you guys are interested in that, go ahead and check it out. Now, I really like the second point on our list.
Okay. So good questions that show you're engaged.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does this mean like you have a fiance?
That's one meaning of engaged. And the other meaning is basically showing that you are interested.
Yeah, I always think with this word, there's definitely interested and also maybe involved.
Yes.
Like it's kind of this great combination of interested and involved.
Right. So you're involved in the conversation and you are interested in the topic. So try to ask at least one question before moving on to the next topic.
Okay, so if any of our listeners are big Spencer fans, you will know that he says moving on quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's kind of his go-to word for, next.
Right, transitioning. Yeah. And our final tip for the first part of today's lesson, try to genuinely relate.
Okay, so you're going to see in this part, we have the word genuinely, a little adverb there. We also have its adjective form.
Okay, genuine.
Genuine. So we might as well just put them both together.
Right.
It means real, authentic.
Or truly.
Truly, right, yeah.
Right.
So when you're relating to someone and you're genuinely trying to relate to someone, you're really trying, you're truly giving it your all.
Yeah, you're being your most real self.
Exactly.
So finding a subject that you are both passionate about will help you establish a genuine rapport.
Okay, so here's another pretty common collocation, right? Genuine rapport. But I'm wondering, why does this word have a T on the end? Why isn't this report, rapport?
Good question. It is a French word.
Another French word that we have borrowed.
Yes.
And so a genuine rapport is just basically a nice relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You can communicate.
Right. So you really connect with that person.
Yes.
We could even call it a bond, maybe?
A bond. Ooh, a genuine bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Okay, I want to get back to the adverb for one second, though. I often hear genuinely as like genuinely believe.
Okay.
Like he or she genuinely believes that
Santa's real.
Santa's real. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Usually when people say like they genuinely believe, you're kind of saying like, despite all of the evidence, they still genuinely believe that climate change is not real.
Right. You could also say that you are genuinely interested in something.
Right,
or someone.
Yeah. Sure, exactly. You're not just there because, you have to be there.
Mm-hmm, right. Now, moving on to the adjective genuine, I feel like it's often used to say that something is real versus fake.
Like a genuine Leonardo.
Right. A piece of artwork.
Piece of art.
We can also use this to refer to stones, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like a genuine diamond.
Mm-hmm. Genuine leather.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you always see that, at the store. If you buy your belts at H&M, it's probably plastic. Yeah, it's not genuine leather, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But if you go to a really nice store, you probably will be buying genuine leather belts and shoes.
All right, so I think that's about it for our first part. Let's go ahead and listen to the next two points.
I genuinely think that's a good idea.
Number 4, decrease personal barriers. Most people like real conversations that don't force them to act like people they aren't. If you see an opportunity to personalize a conversation, take it. Number 5. Hold back on sharing how awesome you are. The most awesome people don't need to constantly tell everyone how awesome they are. People will naturally think you're awesome as the conversation develops.
Okay, so far we've not gotten too excited about our next thoughts. We've asked good questions, and we've tried to genuinely relate to the other people.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next?
We got to decrease personal barriers.
Oh, but I love barriers.
So a barrier is...
It's like something that keeps people apart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, another word is an obstacle.
Okay.
Something you have to go over or go through or go around.
Right. I often think that we refer to these as walls that
yes.
we build up
yeah.
around ourselves.
Exactly. I didn't want to say the word wall in front of an American right now. That might be a little awkward. Okay, so in life, we all put up lots of barriers around ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all do it. Some people do it more than others. But what we're saying here is to have a really meaningful conversation, you really need to break down those barriers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that people don't feel forced to act like someone else.
Ah, yes. Force.
Mm-hmm.
May the force be with you. It's not that force. It's a different force.
Right. So this is kind of like making someone do something against their will.
That's the key here, right? You always kind of hear against their will. It's not really what I want to do. I'm being forced to do it.
Right.
Like, for example, when I was a kid, I was always forced to kiss grandma. You know, I don't really want to kiss grandma, but my parents forced me to do that.
Oh, I see.
Give grandma a kiss.
Right. And, you know, I think a lot of parents will force their kids to do things that their kids don't want to do.
Mm.
Maybe eat vegetables.
Yes.
Or, you know, go to extra tutoring classes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure kids don't really want to do that.
So it's funny you said the vegetable one, because my parents never had to force me to eat vegetables.
That's probably they had to force you to eat meat.
No. I used to eat lots of meat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, they didn't need to force me to do anything.
Oh, that's good.
Or food-wise. But they did, you know, need to force me to do my homework.
Okay.
Or something like that. But can we think of an example that doesn't have to do with parents and kids?
For example, so one thing comes to mind. Maybe a lot of men feel forced to go shopping with their wives and girlfriends.
Ha, okay. So this force is obviously not, you know, like strength.
Yeah.
This force is, a different kind of power or energy.
Right. You kind of feel compelled to.
You must. Yeah. You have no choice but to.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing I would think of is sometimes at work, you know, you can be fired or you can quit.
Uh-huh.
And now if you're fired, the company needs to give you a big package, right? Money, maybe a couple months' salary.
Right.
But if they force you to quit, then they don't need to give you any, we call it severance money.
Right. And there's also an old proverb that goes, you can lead a horse to water,
but you can't force him to do his homework. Oh, I mean, drink. You can't force him to drink it.
Or do his homework.
Or do his homework, right? Yeah, force. I mean, we recently did a lesson, right, about parenting tips.
Yes,
so even, you know, you guys left a lot of great comments for that. I'd love to hear you guys use this word force now to talk, about parenting.
Right. So if you see an opportunity to personalize a conversation, take it.
Okay, so I-Z-E, you see that on a word. Yeah, it's pretty much means it's a verb.
Yeah.
That kind of means, you know, to make, you know, like globalize, make global, and
right.
Localize, make local.
Right, so personalize would be to make personal.
Right, so you're designing for an individual,
mm-hmm.
a particular person.
Right. We could even say customize.
Customize, yeah.
Or tailor.
Sure.
So what is our last and final way to have a meaningful conversation?
Okay. This is going to be hard for some of us, myself included. You need to hold back on sharing how awesome you are.
Mm-hmm. Because every one of you is awesome.
That's right.
But you guys don't need to tell us all the time.
That's the point. So when you hold something back, you're kind of, when it's speaking, it's hesitating,
mm-hmm.
right? You're just not speaking. You're kind of stopping yourself.
Right.
Preventing yourself from doing that.
Mm-hmm. You could even say that you refrain from sharing how awesome you are.
Right, exactly. And the other things you can refrain from doing, like, for example, maybe Diana is giving a very beautiful speech and everyone in the room is, they want to cry, but you should hold back your tears.
Okay. I was thinking of, you know, now everyone's trying to eat healthy and they're trying to hold back on eating processed foods.
Okay. So again, you've got this idea of refraining.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just back to emotion for a second. You can also hold back your anger.
Okay.
I am very bad at doing that.
I can't tell.
And hold back your laughter, which Diana is very bad at doing.
Yeah, I'm really bad at that. So the most awesome people don't need to constantly tell everyone how awesome they are.
Okay. Constantly just means all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Always.
Always, yeah. I always find, though, I use this word a lot when I'm complaining. Like, oh, you know, he's constantly late. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't say, you know, he's always late. Oh. This guy's constantly late. He's constantly complaining.
Uh-huh, right.
That's kind of when I tend to use this word.
Okay, so I think that's about it for the first part of Simple Ways to Have a Meaningful Conversation. Let's go ahead and listen to the dialogue from the top.
Oh, okay.
Number one, don't get too excited about your next thought. People can tell when you aren't truly listening, so always make it a point to listen before you speak. If your story is really interesting, it will still be interesting in 5 minutes. Number two, ask good questions that show you're engaged. Be curious about what the other person is talking about. Try to ask at least one question before moving on to the next topic. Number three, try to genuinely relate. Finding a subject that you are both passionate about will help you establish a genuine rapport. Number four, decrease personal barriers. Most people like real conversations that don't force them to act like people they aren't. If you see an opportunity to personalize a conversation, take it. Number five, hold back on sharing how awesome you are. The most awesome people don't need to constantly tell everyone how awesome they are. People will naturally think you're awesome as the conversation develops. All right, so Adam, I have a question for you.
Don't hold back.
Which of these tips do you probably follow the best?
I think I'm pretty good at most of them. I do sometimes get too excited, you know, about my next thought.
Uh-huh.
I always try to ask questions, even if I really don't care.
Right.
You know,
right,
you
right.
try to ask more questions. And again, try to genuinely relate to people. I guess personal barriers. I'm a Cancer. You're a Cancer. I think, you know, we Cancers kind of, you know, we barriers are there.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think this monologue is saying, like, remove all barriers. It's just kind of like,
right.
just let them down a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I would say that for me personally, the barriers are kind of high or thick, or
yeah.
the walls are kind of thick,
right.
maybe. And I tend to follow rule number two pretty well with asking questions.
Right, right, right.
And just not talking about myself. So anyways, we will also have some communication tips in the culture section, how to better communicate in addition to these five tips. And we also want to know which of these tips you found the most useful.
Yeah, that's right. And don't forget, part two is going to be focused on more of a networking aspect, like a business aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any other tips that are related to these or any kind of networking tips that you kind of want to, you know, help us out with.
Right, right.
Don't hold back.
We'd love to hear from you. And as always, we will see you guys next time.
All right. Bye, guys.
For more English podcasts, stay tuned to Kaya Inyu 每天听.